Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah, about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Beis Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yechiel Yosef ben Sarah, Henoch Yisrael ben Esther Necha, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sarah, Avram Yekosiel ben Gittel, Leah Bas Chana, Alti Yisrael ben Bela Nechama. Today's daf's also being learned, Le'ilu Nishmas, Meir ben Zev, Shloime Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Rafal Zalman Hillel ben Zechariah. So, Perakira is really a tale of two stories. The first half of Perakira discusses the halachis of Bishol, Shehiya, Chazara, Gzeris Merchatzois, Toldas Ar, Toldas Chama, Mevashel b'chamei tveria. The second half of Masechet Shabbos deals with halachis of mukta. So the sugyas of mukta, which we're all loosely familiar with, are discussed in several places in Masechet Shabbos. One of the most important places are several dafin here in Perakira, and it's really from here until the end of the Perak and daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, where the primary topic is going to be the halachis of mukta. And the truth is that the halachis of mukta, although we're familiar with them, very much require an introduction. We will, Be'ezus Hashem, save the introduction for tomorrow's daf, for daf mem dalet. For now, we'll do what we do, and we'll begin the halachas of mukta. So, from a very high level, what is mukta? Mukta states that one is not allowed to use on Shabbos anything that wasn't prepared for Shabbos. So if you have an item that you didn't prepare for Shabbos, the halacha is you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. What does use mean? If it's food, you're not allowed to eat it. Not just that, you can't even be metaltal it. You can't even move it. You're allowed to touch muksa. That's a little bit of a misnomer. That's a mefurish Ramban, Hilcha Shabbos. That's something you're allowed to do. You cannot eat mukta. You also can't be metaltal mukta. Is mukta deraisa? Is mukta derabanan? What exactly is the origin of the halachis of mukta? There are several types of mukta. We know in the sugis of mukta, there's a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is islay mukta. Rabbi Shimon's leslay mukta. But we've mentioned many times that even Rabbi Shimon that's leslay mukta, it doesn't mean that he doesn't hold of mukta. It just means that whereas Rabbi Yehuda was machmer, he's islay mukta. Rabbi Shimon was more makel in the laws of mukta. He's leslay mukta. There's also a third sheet, a sheet is Rabbi Nechemya that we saw briefly in the end of Perek by Mem Adlikin, who was even more machmer in the laws of mukta than Rabbi Yehuda was. Either way, that's all halachos and ideas that we're going to get to in the coming dafin. We'll talk about it a little bit in the introduction. But for now, zok de mishnah ein noisnim kli tachas haner lekabel bayis Hashem. So you have a candle lit on Shabbos. You lit it before Shabbos. All good. And now there's oil dripping on Shabbos. Says the mishnah, you're not allowed to take a keli, a cup, a bowl, put it underneath the candle to catch the shemen. If, however, you put it there before Shabbos, then it's fine. You can leave it there. If you did put it there, and now there's oil inside the keli, even though you don't have to move the keli, but at the same time, you're not allowed to have any benefit from the oil that's in the keli. And the reason is, because it wasn't prepared for Shabbos. That's just another way of saying it's because it's muksa. In other words, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to take a keli, a bowl, a regular, ordinary keli, and put it underneath a ner to be mekabo, to catch the oil that's dripping from the ner. Now, the question is why. This keli that you're moving to go catch the shemen is not mukta. You took a soup bowl, something that was very much prepared. You were planning on using it for the soup course when you eat Friday night. Why then are you not allowed to take the keli and move it to catch it underneath the oil? So Rashi brings two pshat, and both of which are going to be mavur in the Gemara. The first pshat Rashi says is, it's because there's a halacha that you're not allowed to carry something for on behalf something else that's mukta. So just like you're not allowed to be metaltal mukta, you're also not allowed to be metaltal something for the benefit of mukta. And being that the shemen that's dripping from this candle is itself mukta, We'll see why. It's for that reason you're not allowed to carry a keli now to go catch that shemen. Because if you're going to carry the keli to catch the shemen, essentially you're carrying a keli on behalf of something that's mukso. You're doing it to catch the shemen. The shemen is mukso. And there's a halacha that you're not allowed to carry something for something that you cannot carry. The rule states, ein kli nitl b'shabes elu l'tzoyrich davar anitl. And being that the shemen itself is mukta, so it's something that's not a davar anitl, you can't carry a keli now to go ahead and catch the shemen. The other reason that will be mavur in the Gemara, why it's not okay to take a keli, to put it under a nair to catch the shemen, is because it's a halacha that you're not allowed to be mevatl keli mehechonai. And this really has nothing to do with the halachas of mukta. But there's a halacha that says that you're not allowed to do something to a keli that will make it usser to move the keli on Shabbos. So if I have a keli, then I'm allowed to be metaltal. If I'm going to do something to the keli now that's going to cause me to not be able to move the keli on Shabbos, that's usser. It's what's known as bittel keli mehichana. The reason it's usser is because it's similar to boina. It's an issa d'rabbanan, it's not an issa d'raisa, but it's similar to boina. How so? When you build something, so it's stuck, it's now affixed to the area that you built it. Being that you can't move this keli, even though physically you can move it, it's just halachically that you can't move it, but that's enough for it to be considered on some level boina. It's what's known as being mevatel kli mehechanai, and that's something that's also. So again, ein noisten kli tachas aner lekabel bayas Hashem, and why? Rashi right away says a tup shatim. Either because ein keli nitl b'shabes elo l'tzorich dover anitl, I mean that the shemen is mukzo. The shemen is something that you cannot carry. It's a dover that einoy nitl. You can't carry a keli on behalf of shemen. Or the reason is because you be mevatel kli mehechanoi, which is not an iser mukzo, but rather it's an iser boina. Zok de gemara. Amr Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, afa bisha amru, even though the chachamim said, ein noisen kli tachas harnagoyl, sechabal beitzasa, they now put a keli underneath a hen to catch its egg on Shabbos. But after the hen already hatched its egg, the halacha is, if you want to protect the egg, you're allowed to put a keli on top of it to make sure that nobody walks on top of it, nobody breaks it. So Rav Chizda said that even though Chazal said you're not allowed to put a keli underneath the tarnagoyles to catch the beitza, but if you want to protect the beitza in another way, not by catching it, but rather putting something on top of it, that's something that you're allowed to do. Now, before the Gemara explains Rav Chizda Shita, Rashi says that this line that Rav Chizda said, "Afal pisha amru ein noisen kli tachas atarnagoyles lekabel beitzasa," really Chazal never said it. Meaning, Rav Chizda starting off, there's a memra that Chazal said, "Ein noisen kli tachas atarnagoyles lekabel beitzasa." Rashi said you could scan all the Mishnayos and the Brises and the Teiseftas and the Tzifri and the Sefras and the Teres Kayanims and the Yerushalmis. You're not going to find it anywhere. It doesn't say it anywhere. So what was Rav Chizda referring to when he said "Afal pisha amru"? He meant our Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, "Ein noisen kli tachas aner lekabel beis hashemen," and Rav Chizda felt, if that's true, then l'chur, this should also be true. Ein noisen kli tachas atarnagoyles lekabel beitzasa. What's the difference if I put a kli underneath the ner to catch the shemen, or if I put a kli underneath the hen to catch its egg? If the Mishnah says you can't put the kli underneath the ner to catch the shemen, presumably you can't put the kli underneath the tarnagoyles to catch its egg either. Okay, but Rav Chizda said, but you know what you could do? After the egg already came out of the tarnagoyles, it's on the ground, that's something you could do. I'm a rabbi. So rabbi explained, my time is Rav Chizda. So you have rabbi explaining Rav Chizda. One amoira explaining the halacha of an earlier amoira. Kasavar, it's because Rav Chizda holds tarnagoyles, tarnagoyles is usually, often, will lay its egg in the ashpa. But it's not shchiach that a tarnagoyles will lay an egg on an incline, on a place where there's a slope, on a hill. So what? The Chum allowed you to go ahead and bring the keli to protect the egg if it's a dover matzo, if it's something that you could have assumed and anticipated was going to happen. But you're not allowed to carry a keli to go protect the egg if it's in a context where it's not matzo, it's not something that you really anticipated was going to happen. So when you want to catch the keli, you want to catch the egg that the tarnagoyles is laying, what would be the reason for it? You're afraid something's going to happen to it. What's going to happen? Oh, probably it's on a matzoin. It's on a slope, and you're afraid that the egg is going to roll down the hill. If an egg rolls down a hill, it's probably going to get ruined. So you want to go ahead and catch it. Being that that's a nusabul eshchicha, that a hen would lay an egg in such a setting, so you're not allowed to go and carry the keli. Whereas if you want to protect an egg after the hen already hatched it. At that point, so what's probably going through your mind? The hen just laid an egg. It's in an area where people walk. I don't want someone to walk on it. That's already a davar shchiach, that a hen would lay an egg in that kind of setting. So now you're carrying the keli for a tzola that's mitzuyah, to save it in a way where it's matzah, where it's shchiach. Hatzola she'ena mitzuyah lo yitiru. Hatzola mitzuyah, that's something that's already yitiru. Now Rashi explains that Rabba understood that Rav Chisda understood that when the Mishnah said the halacha of ein noislin kli tachas aner the kabu bayis hashevet, it's because of the first of the two pshatim that we spoke out when we learned the Mishnah, and that is because ein kli nitol b'shabbes elo l'tzayich davar nitol. I'm not allowed to carry something on behalf of something that I'm not allowed to carry. Meaning, I can't carry something for something that's muktzah. The shemen that was dripping from the ner was muktzah, so I'm not allowed to carry a keli to go catch the shemen because I'm carrying a keli which is itself not muktzah, but I'm doing it on behalf of shemen which is muktzah. That's the way Rabbi says Rav Chisda understood. So it's for that reason Rabbi said that Rav Chisda was mechalek, and he said that the only time that's true, meaning the only time the Chachamim extended the laws of muktzah to that level and said that you can't carry a keli for a davar muktzah, that's only if it's a hatzol shena mitzuya. I'm carrying the keli to protect the davar shal muktzah, but it's in a setting where it's not mitzuya. But if it would be mitzuya, in that case it would be mutter, and that's why Rav Chisda was mechalek between ein nois and kli tachas tarnagel zekabel beitzasa. But what's the difference? Manavshach. In both cases, I'm carrying something for something that's muktzah. By the way, why is this egg muktzah? Because it's a beish and all the b'yantif. And a beish and all the b'yantif, or a beish and all the b'shabbos is muktzah. B'chalik is b'shami b'sil. But it's the egg is muktzah. So now you're carrying a keli on behalf of an egg, which is in itself muktzah. For a mitsuya thing, I can. That's why koifal el kli, after it was already had shaloi tishaver. But in nois and kli tachas tarnagos, that's not something I'm allowed to do, to go ahead and catch. But the Gemara is going to fire away now with questions on what Rabbi just said. Eisevei abaya. So again, Rabba explained Rav Chisda, who made an inference from the Mishnah. And Abaya, who was Rabbi's Talmud, is going to ask a bunch of questions from different braises and Mishnayos in Masechta Shabbos. Is that true, said Abaya, v'atzol sheina b'tzuya lo yetiru? Is that true that you're not allowed to carry a keli on behalf of something that's muktzah, even if you want to save the davar shel muktzah, in the event that the risk is really something that wasn't so shchiach? It's a davar sheina b'tzuya, like in a chicken laying an egg on a slanty place. Vatanya, but we're doing to the brayso. Nishbalei chavis shal tevel breish gagoy. If someone had a chavis, a barrel, and there was tevel inside of it, it was on his roof. The halach is maybe keli meniach tacht. You let him bring a keli to go ahead and save it. Now the tevel is muktzah. Why is it muktzah? Because he can't eat tevel. In order to eat tevel, you'd have to be mafish trumas or maestris. You're not allowed to be mafish trumas or maestris on Shabbos. And being that you can't be mafish trumas or maestris on Shabbos, you have no way of eating this tevel. So it comes out the tevel is muktzah. Still, if tevel is falling, it was on a barrel on your roof, it's falling to the ground, it's about to get ruined, you'd let it quickly get a keli to go ahead and save it. Why? Because it's hatzolah. Now this lechura is, you're carrying something on behalf of a davar muktzah. And l'chure, it's a tzola she'ena mitzuya, because what's the likelihood of the barrel breaking? Barrels don't usually break. And still you see it's something I'm allowed to do. So you see that I'm allowed to carry a keli for a davar muktzah, even if it's a hatzola she'ena mitzuya. Doesn't stem with what Rabbi said in Rav Chisda. The Gemara says, b'guf echadeti d'shchichi d'paki. It's talking about where there were new barrels. New barrels used to break. So usually you think old barrels would break. No, new barrels sometimes would break. They weren't made properly. They weren't so sturdy. You didn't realize that they work. Sometimes they would make the barrel. They would think it's going to work. And then the next thing they know, it broke. So it was something new where it was shchich that often it would break. Esfei, another kasha bayas. No, yisim kli tachas haner. The kabbal nitzoytis. You let it put a keli underneath the ner to catch its spark. Why you allowed to do that? L'chura, the sparks are lo shchiach. So you see, I'm allowed to carry a keli for nitzoytzis, which are muktzah. A spark is muktzah, even though it's a hatzola that's in a mitzvah. The Gemara says, no, nitzoytzis not mishchichi. Why are you assuming that sparks are lo shchiach? It's very shchiach that a ner is going to give off little sparks. Eisvei, Abai asked another kasha. Koyvin karla, a ner, shlo yoychaz b'koyr. If somebody had a ner, and he was afraid that the ner, the fire, was going to shoot up, and it was going to touch one of the beams in his house. So he's afraid of the beam. So the halach is, you're allowed to take a ka'ara, a bowl, put it on top of the ner to protect the beam so that it won't get lit on fire. Again, you're carrying a keli on behalf of a ner
the ner is mukta, so you see that you're allowed to do it even though it's a hatzalah she'ena mitzuyah. The Gemara says, no, but the kri the shkech budaleika. So talking about where the ceiling was very short. Being that the ceiling was very short and you lit a fire, so it's actually shkech that the beam, the roof, made light on fire. So being that it's shkech, that's why it's a hatzalah mitzuyah, it's going to be okay. V'chein kurish and nishbar, another kasha, a beam that broke. You're allowed to go and you're allowed to support the beam that it shouldn't fall with a bench or with a bed. The question is, why am I allowed to go ahead and carry the bench and the bed, which in and of itself is not muksa, on behalf of a kairu, which is muksa? I'm carrying something that's muksa. And even though I'm doing it to save it, but it's a hatzalah she'ena mitzuyah, because the likelihood of the beam breaking was probably low. Mara says, no, it was new beams. New beams used to break sometimes. Another kasha baya said, you're allowed to put a keli underneath a leak. So you have a leaking roof in your house. You're allowed to put a keli underneath the leak to catch the water. That water is presumably mukta. The reason we'll assume it's mukta is, what are you going to do with that water? You're going to drink it? You're not going to drink it. So it's not geschmack. So chances are, it wasn't really prepared for Shabbos. So if it's mukta, so why am I allowed to carry a keli to save it? So you'll tell me because it's a hatzalah, but it's a hatzalah she'ena mitzuyah. Rav Chizda, the way Rabbi explained it, said that any hatzalah she'ena mitzuyah, you're not allowed to carry things for it. The Gemara says, "But it was a new house, so new barrels break, and new beams break, and new houses leak. And being that it's a new house and it's leaking, so it's for that reason it's a hatzalah mitzuyah. If it's a hatzalah mitzuyah, it's something that you would be allowed to do. Either way, before we go weiter, so Rav Chizda commented on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Ein noisin kelim." Rav Chizda said, if that's the case, the same would be true. Rav Chizda went ahead and he said a chiddush. But what you are allowed to do is you're allowed to take a keli and put it on top of the egg to make sure that it doesn't break. Meaning, you're not allowed to take a keli to catch the egg, but once the egg's already on the ground, you're allowed to cover the egg. What's the pshat of Rav Chizda? What's the difference? So Rabbi said, my time with Rav Chizda, because Rav Chizda understood that the pshat in the Mishnah of the Ein Nois and Keli Tachsanel, the Kabbalah Bayas Hashem, is because you're not allowed to carry something on behalf of something else that's mukta. But he qualified that. He felt that the only time that's true is if the thing that you're carrying it on behalf of is a dover that's matzoi. That's a dover that's not matzoi. But if it's a dover that's matzoi, then the halacha would be, you would be allowed to carry it. So if you want to carry a keli for something that's muksa, specifically to save it, to protect it, what the Gemara calls a hatzalah, if it's a hatzalah mitzuyah, it would be mutter. If it's a hatzalah she'ena mitzuyah, it would be yasser. So Rav Chizda said that the chances of a hen laying an egg in a place where you would have to catch it to save it are not likely. So that's a hatzalah she'ena mitzuyah, that wouldn't be mutter. The chances of a hen laying an egg in a way where you would have to cover it to protect it, nobody walks on it, is likely. So that's a hatzalah mitzuyah. If that's a hatzalah mitzuyah, that's going to be okay. Abai asked a bunch of questions at Rabbah. Rabbah answered all the questions. Now the one thing that you just have to figure out then is if what's coming out is that Rav Chizda said that even though you're not allowed to carry a keli on behalf of something that's muksa, but if it's atzala mitzuya, you are allowed to. So what's pshat in the Mishnah? Ein noisin kli tachas aner lekabel bayis hashemen. You would think that for oil to drip from a ner is mitzuya. So that would seem to be a hatzalah mitzuyah. So if that's a hatzalah mitzuyah, that should be comparable to the second thing Rav Chizda said. So what's pshat in the Mishnah that the Mishnah said? So Tosfos asks the kasha. It's the bottom Tosfos on the Yomim. And Tosfos says it's true, it's shchiach. As a matter of fact, it's super shchiach. It's so shchiach that it's loy shchiach that before Shabbos you wouldn't have a keli there to catch the shemen. So you're right, the thing itself that you want to do was something that was shchiach to happen. But it's like shchiach that you would have to carry the keli to make that happen on Shabbos, because chances are you would have been aware that it was going to happen precisely because it is so shchiach and you would have done it before Shabbos. So for you to have to carry the keli becomes loy shchiach. It's now a hatzala she'ena mitzuyah, and it's for that reason Rav Chizda held that even though hatzala mitzuyah is mutter, but at the same time a noisin kli tachsanel kal boyes Hashem. Either way, this is the first pshat in Rav Chizda, but the Gemara is going to bring now a second pshat in Rav Chizda. So who said the first pshat? Rabba. Who said the second pshat? Rav Yosef. Rabba's primary bal plukt in Shas is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, "Hainu time with Rav Chizda. Pshat and Rav Chizda is not like Rabba said. Rather, the reason Rav Chizda was mechalik between putting the keli underneath the egg to catch it
versus putting it on top of the egg after the hen already laid the egg is mishum dekamavato klimei chane. Rav Chisda learned pshat in the Mishnah differently. Rav Chisda didn't learn pshat in the Mishnah like the first pshat that Rashi said in the Mishnah. He learned pshat in the Mishnah like the second pshat Rashi said in the Mishnah. A nois and kli tachzaner lekabel bayas Hashemin. Not because he's not allowed to carry something on behalf of something that's muksa, but it's because you're being mavato klimei chane. Because as soon as the shemen goes into the keli, you're not allowed to move the keli anymore. By the way, why can't you move the keli? Because it's a basis ledavar ha'aser. One of the examples of muksa, we'll see more about this in the introduction, but one of the examples of muksa is that if you're a support for something that's muksa, I can't carry you now. So the keli that has the shemen in it now becomes a basis for the shemen, which is muksa. So now that the keli becomes muksa, I created muksa. Muksa you're not allowed to carry. It's also betotal. So I was mevatel kli meichane. That's like boina. That's the problem. So if that's the case, Rav Yehi said it's pashu where Rav Chisda was coming to say. Rav Chisda said, Ava bishamru ein noisen kli tachasan ergoyles kal bebeitz also. Where did he see that in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah said ein noisen kli tachasan ergoyles kal bebeitz hashemen. What's the reason for it? Because he'd be mevatel kli meichane. So that's only a problem if the oil is in the keli. That's only a problem if the egg is in the keli. But what if I do it in the reverse? What if I put the keli on top of the oil? I put it on top of the egg. So it's not a basis ledavar ha'aser. So if that's the case, you are mevata kli meichane. If you are mevata kli meichane, that's going to be motis. Rav Yosef said, "Pshat Rav Chisda is pashut. You don't have to get involved in nuances. Hatzola metzuya, hatzola she'ena metzuya. It's very simple. The yisoid of the way Rav Chisda understood the Mishnah is bittel kli meichane. You don't have bittel kli meichane in the case where you just cover the egg. You only have it when the egg is inside the keli." So the Gemara says, "Esvei Abaya." But Abaya had kashas for Rav Yosef too. Abaya had a lot of kashas for Rabba, and he had a few kashas for Rav Yosef. Chavish al tevel shenishbara. The same halacha. If somebody had a barrel that was tevel inside, it broke, and now the tevel's falling all over the place. Maybe kli acher maniach tachtel. You let her bring a keli, and you let her put it underneath it. Why are you allowed to do that? You're going to be mevatel kli meichane. As soon as the tevel lands inside the keli, you're not going to be able to move the keli anymore. If you're not going to be able to move the keli anymore, it's going to come out. That's baina. So if it's baina, so it's mevatel kli meichane. Now, what was the Gemara's teretz when Abai asked the same question to Rabba? Hatzala metzuya, hatzala she'ena metzuya. But according to Rav Yosef, it has nothing to do with hatzala metzuya, hatzala she'ena metzuya. It's a halacha, you're not allowed to be mevatel kli meichane. So if you took a keli, put muksa inside the keli, you caught the tevel, which is muksa, you can't move it now, so you're mevatel kli meichane. So he told him, tevel muchen u'etzel Shabbos. That tevel, you're going to have to say, Rav Chisda is going to hold, is not really muksa. Why is it a muksa? Shem av v'tiknei mesukin. Because b'di'evet, you can always give chumas amaisos. Now, you really can't. But b'di'evet, if you did it, it works. So being that there is a possibility that maybe your tevel will be muchen for Shabbos, even though really you're not allowed to do it, but b'di'evet, if you did it, it would work. So therefore, we look at it not as muksa, we look at it as muchen on some level. Of course, it's muksa. But on some level, it's muchen that it's not considered bitokli meichonet. But I asked another kashan. You're allowed to put the keli underneath the ner to catch the sparks. Why are you allowed to do that? The spark is muksa. So once the spark is inside the keli is a basis for the spark. So you're mevatel kli meichane because now I can't move the keli. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yishuv, nitzaitzes ain ben mamish. Nitzaitzes have no mamish. Right? You can't touch it. There's no physical nature to the nitzaitzes. As a result, it's not really considered muksa to make the keli a basis. L'davar muksa. So it's not considered bittel kli meichane. The Mishnah says that if you have a kaira beam that broke, so you're allowed to support it with your safsol or with your bed. What's the kasha? Why are you allowed to do that? If you're going to put the safsol or the bed, then you're not going to be able to move the safsol or the bed afterwards. If you won't be able to move the safsol or the bed afterwards, then l'chura, you were just mevatel kli meichane. Now here the question is a little different. It's not because, meaning the reason this is not bittel kli meichane is not because it's a basis l'davar aser. You didn't make it a basis. You're just using it to support it. But the point is, I'm not going to be able to move it. So if I'm not going to be able to move it, that in and of itself should make it bittel kli meichane. Not I can't move it because of the halacha. I can't move it because practically I can't move it. So the Gemara says, the rafi. It's talking about where you put it in a way where you physically could move it. If you want to take it, you could take it. Yes, another kashan. You're allowed to put the keli underneath the leak on Shabbos. Why? Once the water leaks into the keli, you won't be able to move the keli because the water is muktzah. So now the keli is a basis for muktzah. So now it's bittel kli meichane. So why are you allowed to do it? So the Gemara says, it's talking about where you were able to drink the water. The water wasn't muktzah. Here we have a new question. So Abaye asked Rav Yosef a kasha that he didn't ask Rabba. The halacha is, you're allowed to take a basket, put it next to the afroichim, next to the chickens, the little birds, if you want to let them play. They should be able to go up and they should be able to go down. The kasha is, the afroichim are mukta. So when the afroichim go on top of the sal, on top of this basket, now the basket becomes a basis. It's muksa. So you mevatel kli meichane. So why are you allowed to do that? So Gemara says, he holds that no, if an afroyach goes on top of a basket, you are allowed to move the basket. If I can move the basket, so it's not bitul klimei echan, it's only bitul klimei echan. If I can't move it, he holds I could move it. But tanya afraid the gemara would do it to the brisa asal talploy, that really you're not allowed to move it. So the gemara says no, but oydin olav, it's only when it's on it that you're not allowed to move it. But when it's off it, you are allowed to move it. Afroyachim don't sit in one spot; they have ADD, so they're gonna come off it. So when they come off it, at that point you'll be able to move. But tanya, but we learned to the brisa alfa bisha inoy davar asal. No, we learned that even when they're not on it, it's awesome. Ravo said no, that meant something else. But oydin olav kol bein hashmashes. That's talking about if the afroyachim were on the sal the entire bein hashmashes. So then there's a halacha migu dis katzoy le bein hashmashes is katzoy le kula yoyma. There's an idea if something was muktzah bein hashmashes, even if later it's not muktzah anymore. The circumstances change over Shabbos, it remains muktzah forever. So there is a possibility where this sal would be muktzah. In the event where Ephraim were on the sal during Bein HaShemashes, so then you have this migu des katzoy, the Bein HaShemashes, is katzoy the kulei yoyma. That's a separate halacha. That's not what went on over here. Over here on Shabbos, you want to go ahead, you want to move the keli for the Ephraim to be able to play. That's not called pitikli meichonah because although it's true while the Ephraim are on the sal, you wouldn't be able to move it. When they're not on it, you would be able to move it. It's for that reason, it wouldn't be an issue. Now, as it relates to this halacha, migudis katsoy le bein hashmash, it's katsoy le kuli yoyma. It's really a big discussion. Machleik is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We'll see more about it in the coming daftar. But for now, that was the second shot in the sugya. So again, Rav Chizda commented on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Ein noisen kli tachas aner lekalu beis Hashem." You're not allowed to take a keli to catch the shemen. Rav Chizda said that if that's the case, the same is true. You're not allowed to take a keli to catch an egg. Shemen is mukta, peish and alda is also mukta, so the same halacha would be true. But he added, but you are, after the hen already laid the egg, put a keli on top of it so that it shouldn't break. And we have two pshatim, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, to understand Rav Chizda, that really they trace back to how they understood the Mishnah. Rabbi said that Rav Chizda understood the Mishnah, because you're not allowed to carry something for something else that's muktzah. Shemen is muktzah, I can't carry keli for something that's muktzah. However, he qualified that and he said that's only true if the hatzola that I'm carrying it for is hatzola she'ena mitzuya. If it's hatzola mitzuya, so in that case it would be mutter. And that's why to catch the egg is hatzola she'ena mitzuya. That's similar to the Mishnah to catch the Shemen. There's also Atzol HaShein HaMetzuyah that I'm not allowed to do. But to be Kaifa Le'asachli is Atzol HaMetzuyah, that's going to be Mutter. Rav Yosef said that no. Pshat in Rav Chizda is because Rav Chizda understood the Mishnah. A Noisen Kli Tachas Aner L'Kabes HaShemen because of Bitul Kli Me'echonai. So then it's very posh. Bitul Kli Me'echonai is when the Dover Muktzah lands in the Keli. Now the Keli is a Basis L'Muktzah. It itself becomes Muktzah. I can't move it. You created a situation where you can't move a Keli on Shabbos. You made it be stuck in its place. That's similar to Baina. That's going to be a problem. But if I only cover the egg, that in itself won't be an issue. So in other words, we have a machloikis head understand Rav Chizda, which really traces itself back to a machloikis head understand the Mishnah. But the Gemara brings a third pshat. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak argued with Rav Chizda. So Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef were both explaining Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda's halacha was that although you can't put a keli underneath the tarnagolas to catch the egg, but after the egg was already laid, you could put a keli on top of the egg to protect the egg. Rav Yitzchak said, no, k'shem she noisen kli tachas tarnagolas l'kabel beitzasa kachin koifin ala kli b'shvil shalaiti shaver. You also can't cover it. Why? Because shaver ain kli nitol elo davar nitol b'shavis. Obviously, he holds like Rabahel that the reason ain noisen kli tachas anel l'kabel b'yis Hashemen is because you're not allowed to carry something on behalf of something that's muksa. But whereas Rabbi was mechalik between a hatzala mitzuya, hatzala she'ena mitzuya, Rabbi had this big shtickel taira, clearly Rabbi Yitzchak disagreed with that shtickel taira. Now, why did Rabbi Yitzchak have to hold that way? Because if he held bitul kli meichanai, why in the world would it be aser to take a keli, to cover a keli? There's no bitul kli meichanai. So for sure he held like Rabbi, and for sure he wasn't in agreement to this chilek. So the Gemara now says that really, meisvei kol hanitiufta, all the kashas that the Gemara asked on Rabbi, really we have to ask on Rabbi Yitzchak also. And all the terutzim that we gave to Abaye's questions that he asked on Rabbi are not going to work. Why aren't they going to work? Because what was the Gemara's teretz to all the kashas? Abaye fired away against Rav Chizda. And every kasha that he asked, the Gemara answered, it was Atzala Mitzuya. It was Atzala Mitzuya. It was Atzala Mitzuya. And Rav Chizda holds Atzala Mitzuya, you are allowed to carry. The problem is Rav Chizda clearly said you can't carry for Atzala Mitzuya. So he's going to have to come up with another teretz. The Gemara says he did. Vashani Bitzarchim Kaima. You're going to have to say it's talking about where a person was carrying something anyways. Meaning the case was that you went ahead, let's pick one case. There was a leak. And the halacha is you're allowed to take a keli to catch the water that's leaking. Why are you allowed to do that? The water that's leaking is muktzah. You're carrying a keli for something that's muktzah. So
The Gemara's teret according to Rav Chisda was it's talking about where it was a new house where it was shchiach that there would be a leak. But according to Rav Yitzchak, that wouldn't help me because Atzolam Mitzvah is also a problem. So what's he going to say? It's talking about where I picked up the keli beheter. Once I'm walking with the keli, I'm holding it. So now if I want to plop it down somewhere to catch the water, that's something I'm allowed to do. I'm not allowed to go to katchila and carry the keli for something that's muktzah. But once I'm holding it, if it's sarach l'mekaymai, that's something I'm allowed to do. The Gemara says, Tashma, achas beis shenol b'shabbos, achas beis shenol b'yontif. Im metalton, if you have an egg that was noilin on Shabbos, it was noilin on yontif, it's muktzah. So the halacha is you're not allowed to carry that. Loib l'chasas bas, akli b'lis mechbal kari b'tu. You're not allowed to use it to cover a keli. Can't use the egg to support a bed. Aval koifo le'a kli b'shvil sh'loi tishavar. However, if you want to put something on top of the egg, that's something that you're allowed to do. Why am I allowed to carry the keli to cover the egg? L'chura, I'm carrying something on behalf of something that's muktzah. And don't tell me because it's shchiach. Rabbi Yitzchak just said, even Atzalah Metzuyah is a problem. The Gemara says, it's talking about we anyways were carrying the keli. Once anyways carrying the keli, so you can put it on top of the Toshma. You're allowed to put mats on top of stones on Shabbos. It's raining outside and you don't want it to get ruined. So you're allowed to cover it with mats. Why am I allowed to do that? Stones are muktzah. How am I allowed to carry mats to cover stones? The Gemara says, "Bavana mekruzolis chazavis." These are stones that people use in the Beis Akise. So in the olden days, if somebody went to the bathroom and didn't have tissues, or toilet paper, what they would use is stones. Those stones weren't muktzah. That's what it's referring to. Tashma, person machzolos agabi levein b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put machzolos mats on top of bricks on Shabbos. Now, bricks are considered muktzah because it's a klisha melachta list. What do you do with bricks? You build a house. You're not allowed to build on Shabbos. So that's for sure muktzah. The Gemara says, deishtayr mi binyonos. Talk about these bricks were left over from a building. So they're not going to be used as a building. The chazil mizgalah, you're going to use it for something else. That other thing may not be muktzah, so it's considered mukha, it's not considered muktzah. That's why you're allowed to carry. Toshma, person machzolos agabi kiveres devoirim. You're allowed to put mats on top of a beehive. Beshabbos. Bechama, mipnei achama. If it's during the summer, you could do it to protect the beehive from the sun. And if it's during the winter, you're allowed to do it to protect the beehive from the rain. But actually, it's chavim loss. You just have to make sure that you don't have a mind to catch the bees. Because if you have a mind to chap the bees, then you're over which one of the lamet has malachas? Tzad. You're not allowed to catch an animal on Shabbos. So just make sure you didn't have a mind, but you're allowed to cover it. What's the kasha? A kiver is the vayru, beehive is muktzah. So why am I allowed to carry a machzala, a net on behalf of the beehive? And don't tell me because it's mitzuyah, because Rabbi Yitzchak calls atzala mitzuyah. You're also not allowed to carry something on behalf of something that's muktzah. So the Gemara says, "Ach, my skidah dekidvash." Talk about whether it was honey, and being that there was honey, the honey is not muktzah. So being that the honey is not muktzah, so I'm doing it not on behalf of the beehive, which is muktzah. I'm doing it on behalf of the honey, which is not muktzah. But amalei Rav Ukva mimesh and Rav Ashi tenech b'maisachamo. That's all good during the summer, the ikidvash, when there's honey. But b'maisach shama the ikidvash my ikilameimar. There's no honey in the beehives during the winter. That's just the way it is. So if that's the case, it said clearly b'maisach and b'maisach shama summer and the winter. So in the summer you could tell me honey, but during the winter all there is the beehives. The Gemara says, the halach is that they used to leave two honeycombs inside the beehive throughout the winter. Why? Because they needed the bees to have what to eat. So they would leave it there during the winter. So there's always going to be honey in a beehive, even during the winter, because of the shtei chalos. But the Gemara says, v'hamuksas nenu. I understand. Those chalos are there for who? For the bees. If they're there for the bees, that means you had no intention of using them. If you had no intention of using them, then it's vayta muktzah. So just like you can't carry the mat to cover the beehive, you can't carry it to carry the shtei chalos because they're muktzah. The Gemara says, v'chashav alai. It's talking about what you had in mind that you wanted to use those chalos on Shabbos. So in that case, the chalos are not muktzah anymore. But the Gemara says, "Holy chash v'leim my yasser." So it sounds like you're telling me that if you wouldn't have in mind, it'd be possible that it would be yasser. Meaning the only time it's muktzah to carry the mats to protect the beehive during the winter is if you had in mind that the shtei chalos that are usually left there on behalf of the bees throughout the winter, you're going to use for Shabbos. Otherwise, it'd be yasser. So there's a hechatimtza where it's mutter, there's a hechatimtza that it's aser. So the Gemara asks, Akasha, ihachi, the Braisa itself gave a hechatimtza of when it would be aser. Braisa gave an example when it wouldn't be okay to carry mats to protect the beehive. How so? Hadat Tani Bavachal is chavin latzud. What did Braisa say? Make sure you don't have a mind to catch the bees. Because if you have a mind to catch the bees, it's going to be aser. Sounds like that's the only way this could be a problem. You want to carry mats to protect beehives? Do it. Just make sure you don't have a mind to catch the bees. What do you mean? Even if you don't have a mind to catch the bees, it's possible it would be aser. Meaning, why didn't the Braisa just say even more simple? That the only time it's mutter during the winter is if you had a mind to use the shtei chalos, those honeycombed on Shabbos. Otherwise, it would be a problem. So you want a hechatimtza where it would be aser if you were loichishev. So
Why did the Braisa say that? So the Gemara says, we could have said that, but Hakam Ashmalon, that Afa Bishachich of Aleim, Ubavachle Ischavim Lotzud. The point is, we wanted to say that even if you were mechashev to use the chalis, it's still possible it would be a problem if you have kavana. Either way, you're right. The Braisa could have said that that's eichatim, so when it would be aser, Braisa wanted to say a different eichatim. So I mean, Braisa just wanted you to understand that when you do this, even though the muktzah stuff you can figure out, but just remember you have to be worried about tzad. Tzad's another problem. The Gemara says, Mani, who's the Tana of this halacha? Person machzolis al kiveres devoir. Who is the Tana? Reb Shimon. If it's Reb Shimon, let's say muktzah, Reb Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah. Now again, Reb Shimon holds a muktzah, but the Gemara assumes that this halacha muktzah Reb Shimon wouldn't hold. And Reb Yehuda, if it's Reb Yehuda, who holds a muktzah, kilei mischavin mayhavi hadavah shei mischavin aser. Then what does the Braisa say? That make sure you don't have a mind to catch the bees, as if you made sure not to catch the bees, you wouldn't have to worry about it. No, even if you made sure not to catch the bees, it would be a problem. Why? Because Reb Yehuda's sheet is that you're not allowed to do a malacha on Shabbos, even if it's a davah shei mischavin. Even Dava Sheinim Eschavin is also some manav. So what's going on over here? On the one hand, the Tana of this Braisa seems to hold like Reb Shimon that there's no Allah of Muktzah. And then again, it seems to hold like Reb Yehuda. It seems to hold like Reb Yehuda that is Islay Muktzah. And it seems to hold like Reb Shimon that holds Dava Sheinim Eschavin is Mutter. So the Gemara says, Olam Reb Yehuda. Really holds like Reb Yehuda. Umay Ubelvachle Eschavin Lotzot. So what does it mean, Ubelvachle Eschavin Lotzot? Meaning, even if you didn't have Kavan or Lotzot, even if it's a Dovah Shein Mischavin, it's still going to be Asr. It means, Shalei Asena Kemetsuda, Delish Voiklahu Ravcha. Meaning he's not saying don't have kavana. Even if you don't have kavana, it's a problem. He meant to say do it in a way where it's not going to be tzad, where you're not going to come to a tzad. Set it up in a way where there's going to be room for the beast to fly out. If they have to, it's like this, you're not going to run into a tzad problem. Rav Ashi Amar, going back to the Braisa again, what did the Braisa say? Person machzolis agabi kiveres tevayir b'Shabbos. You let it cover a beehive on Shabbos with mats. You could do it during the summer to protect from the sun. You can do it during the winter to protect from the rain. The Gemara's question was, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you never, ever, ever allow to carry something that's not muktzah on behalf of something that is muktzah. Why are you allowed to do that? The beehives are muktzah. So the Gemara says you're doing it for the honey, which is not muktzah. But the Gemara says there's no honey in the winter. So the Gemara says they're shtei chalois. But the Gemara said shtei chalois, they're muktzah, b'shechishev. If it's Bishachishev, why didn't the Braisa say anything about Bishachishev? We got into this whole situation. Rav Ashi said more pashit. Mik tani b'moisachami b'moisach shaman. The Braisa never said b'moisachami b'moisach shaman. Didn't say anything about summer or winter. What did it say? You're allowed to put a man on top of the beehive b'chama when it's sunny b'pnei acham because of the sun, u'b'chama when it's raining because of the rain. Not summer and winter. Sunny days and rainy days. So the Gemara said what it means is b'yomi nisan b'yomi tishrei, during Nisan and Tishrei, all the summer months, when there's honey, de'ikacham ve'ikashamim ve'ikadvash. Sometimes it's rainy, sometimes it's sunny, there's always honey, and that's what the Braisa said. You're right, you can't do it during the winter. The reason you can't do it in the winter is because it's muktzah. It's talking dafka in the summer, where there's dvash, the dvash is not muktzah. That's what this halacha would be. Okay, Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, puka ve'imru le'le Rav Yitzchak. Go tell Rav Yitzchak. Again, what Rav Yitzchak called? A, you're not allowed to carry something that's not mukta on behalf of something that is mukta, even for a hatsala that's mitzuya. So Rav Sheish just said, go tell Rav Chizda kvar tigma Rafuna l'shmaitich b'bavel. That your chiddush is not such a chiddush. I heard this already in Bavel. Rafuna already said this. Rafuna said, oisa mechitza l'meis v'shulchai. You're allowed to make a mechitza for a meis on behalf of a chai, ve'in oisin mechitza lemeis b'shvil meis. What does that even mean? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shulba Yehuda, v'chein t'hanu sheilam mori. Meis amut b'chama, if you have a meis that's out in the sun. So someone died, Rachmana Litzlan, his body is laying out in the sun. And for covered meis, they wanted to protect the body from the sun. The problem is, a dead person is mukta. So you can't just move him. So what are you supposed to do? Bam shnei b'nei adam, so there's an idea. Two people can come. V'yoshvim b'tzidah, they could sit on his side. Chamlem, they're going to be hot because it's very hot. That's why they're worried about the maize. No matter, they may be meat of Yoshevel, they may be meat of Yoshevel. They can each bring beds, they can sit on the beds. Chamlem amala, but it's probably still going to be hot. Meaning, the floor was hot, so now they're sitting on a bed. The floor is not, where they're sitting is not hot anymore. But it's hot on top of them. But there's a workaround for that. Mevi machzeles, you could bring mats, uparsin alem, and you can spread it out on top. Then, once you have the beds and you have the mats, zeh zoykev mitasev v'nishmat, you could pick up the bed and just go away, v'hoylechloy, v'zeh zoykev mitasev v'nishmat, v'hoylechloy, v'nimtzas mechitza, asui me'ele, like this, you can have a mechitza that's going to be protecting this mace. I mean, you have a mace that's lying out in the sun, you want to protect it. How do you protect it? So what you could do is you can bring, for the chai, for the live person, you can go ahead and you can bring a bed, you can bring a mat, make yourself a mechitza for you, and then walk away, and the mechitza will be there for the mace. You can't make the mechitza for the mace. You can make
the mechitza for yourself. Now Rashi says, why do you have to make this mechitza in such a funny way? You bring the bed, then you bring the mat. Just make a mechitza. So Rashi says, because you can't make a mechitza on Shabbos. That's also a problem. The reason that's a problem is because you're making an oihel. You're not allowed to make something. So you do it with a shinoi. You do it in this funny way. But the point is, you don't make it for the chai. You make it for the mace. What's the punch? What do you see like Rabbi Yitzchak? Because what was Rabbi Yitzchak shita? You're never allowed to carry something on behalf of something that's muksa. So here too, you wouldn't be allowed to go ahead and carry it on behalf of the mace. What you could do is you could do it for the chai, and then just walk away. You won't need it anymore. And like this, it'll be sitting there for the mace. The bottom line is, that's what Rav Huna said, that Rav Sheshe said, go tell Rav Yitzchak that Rav Huna already said your chiddush in Babel. Yitzchak lived in Eretz Yisrael. He said in Babel, they already said your chiddush. Bottom line is, we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah which introduces us really to the halachas of muktzah. You're not allowed to put a keli underneath a candle to catch the oil. Why not? What emerged from the Gemara is two reasons. Rabba and Rabbi Yitzchak on the one hand, and Rabbi Yosef on the other hand. Rabba and Rabbi Yitzchak both said, the reason is because there's a halacha, that just like you're not allowed to be metalta mukta, you're not allowed to move mukta, you're not allowed to move something that's not mukta on behalf of something that's mukta. The oil is mukta, the keli is not mukta, can't carry the keli to go catch the oil. It's something that you're not allowed to do. The second shot is Rabbi Yosef's shot. Rabbi Yosef said it's because there's a halacha, you're not allowed to be mevatel keli meichonai. You're not allowed to do something to a keli that will, on Shabbos, that will not allow you to move the keli anymore on Shabbos. And being that the oil is mukta, if you would put the keli underneath the mukta, the keli would become muksa, because the keli will now be a basis for the oil. It's a basis for something that's muksa, which in and of itself becomes muksa. So if you're not allowed to move the keli anymore, you caused on Shabbos this keli not to be able to be moved. That in and of itself is an issue, and that's the reason it wouldn't be mutter. What we also saw in the Gemara is that there was a machloikis between Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak, whether if a hen lays an egg, are you allowed to cover the egg with a keli, are you not allowed to cover that egg with the keli? What does it really boil down to? Whether it would be mutter or whether it would be aser, what it boils down to is there a halacha that you're not allowed to carry a keli on behalf of something that's mukta? If there's no such halacha, and pshat in the Mishnah was because of bittul kli meichonai, that for sure that would be mutter. If there is a halacha that you're not allowed to carry a keli on behalf of something that's muktzah, is that only true if it's a hatzola she'en a mitzuya, or is it true even if it's a hatzola mitzuya? That's the machlokes. Rabbi Yitzchak said it's true even for hatzola mitzuya. That's why it would be aser to put a keli on top of an egg. Rav Chisda said it's only true if it's a hatzola she'en a mitzuya.